Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results. The standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. Join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotlines, our pal Mike Rizzo, President of Baseball Ops, General Manager of the Washington Nationals. As we go in the clubhouse, Mike Rizzo, presented by Burke and Herbert Bank. Unexpectedly different. Mike, we were talking a little bit about your comments on the anonymous National League executive who called Bryce Harper selfish and a loser. You got a little salty about that, right?
As you should have, by the way.
Well, you know, it's that, you know, when there are unwarranted attacks on one of your own, a family member and stuff like that, you know, I can't speak for anybody else, but yeah, I get salty. It pisses me off, and I'm not going to stand idly by and let these clowns make these disparaging remarks about a player they obviously don't know, or they wouldn't have made the remarks. Are you calling Bryce Harper a loser when he's got the resume of one of the great players of all time at age 25? It shows your lack of knowledge of the subject matter, and also, you know, how cowardly are you to hide behind some anonymous quote. So, yeah, it was salty.
Yeah, Feinstein always tells us that he will not print anonymous sources' quotes. He said if you can't put a name to it, he's not going to print it. If you knew who it was, would you call them up today?
Of course I would. I would call them, and I'd ask them what their situation is, what was the basis of the comments, and you know, hey, you have, everyone has their opinions. Bryce is a very polarizing, you know, major league player. Your opinions are fine. I've got no problem with that. Put your name on it, and we have no problem with it. There's no issues. If you want to be that boisterous, and those comments were harsh. They were totally inaccurate and unbiased. I mean, no basis to them or anything like that. But you know, those were infuriating comments, and to then hide behind, talking real tough and all that stuff, and then at the end, by the way, this is off the record.
Right.
You know, don't use my name.
Right.
Come on, man.
It's one thing to say, you know, if he was asked about Bryce's upcoming contract, it's one thing to say, well, I don't think any player is worth that much money. You know, it's a lot of money to designate to one player. But, man, to come out and individually say that he's a loser and – no one likes him. I mean, that is pretty harsh.
Yeah, and you better have your facts together when you say those kind of comments. But of course, when you don't put your name to it, there's no ramifications. There's nothing. You know, he's anonymous. He walks around today, and you know, nobody knows who he is. And you know, he may smirk and smile about it, and that's why I thought that, you know, hey, guys, the easiest thing in the world would have been to let it go. It would have faded. But when I saw it on MLB Network, then Yahoo Sports picks it up. And, you know, the age of, you know, social media, even these small-time writers, they get big attention when they write these inflammatory type of articles about these very, very popular players. And Harp is, you know, let's face it, Harp gets you clicks, you know. And
it's true.
And that's what a lot of these quote-unquote journalists are all about. It's not about the substance of the story. It's about be a shock jock and how much can I infuriate people to get attention and to get clicks on his blog and stuff like that. I don't know the guy, so I wouldn't know if he walked in this room. So
joined by Mike Rizzo, President of Baseball Ops and GM of the Nationals. All right, we got a lot to cover here in the next 10 minutes. Let's start with Daniel Murphy. Tell me where he's at. I guess he's been activated, and when we'll see him in the lineup.
Well, he played last night, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he played last night. He DH'd. We thought it was a good time to break him into the lineup. He's feeling good. We've got 5 games in the American League with the DH. Then you have a couple of days off. So we thought it was a good time. He felt good. He had plenty of rehab at bats, and we felt it was a good time for him to come. So. Yeah, he had he had opening day last night against CC Sabathia, and he's knocking a little rust off. Had a really good at bat, his last at bat, really grinding one out, and we're glad to have him back in the lineup. It really, really he's an imposing figure in the lineup. It lengthens our lineup and makes us much more dangerous.
Did he have any good swings? I didn't get to see any of his at-bats last night.
He said the last at-bat.
The last at-bat was?
The last at-bat was a good one. He grinded out, you know, like a 10-pitch at-bat. I think he was 0-for-4 on the night. But you know, you knocking rust off and seeing, you know, just seeing pitches and getting back into the swing of it against, you know, very, very good left-handed starting pitcher in CC Sabathia. So it was a tough game for him to break into, but he really wanted to play. And you know, while we're going to take advantage of these DH games while he's while we're playing this American League interleague stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You guys think of everything, and I don't have any doubt that Daniel Murphy's going to. I feel like that guy could hit on one leg. He could hit while he's asleep. That's just what he does. But what did throw me, Mike, is when we all saw those videos of him kind of running and fielding, and he certainly was playing with some sort of limp, right? It just what you know. And
throwing flat-footed.
That just was like, that was like shocking to me. Has he overcome it that quickly? Because I looked at that, Mike, and I said, well, I don't know how that guy's ever going to play again. That looks awful. I feel so bad for him.
Yeah, he was running much better. He had a chance to run a ball out yesterday and ran well. When he decelerates and stops running is when you'll see the effects of the knee surgery, and he'll limp a little bit. But you know, the knee is strong, it's stable, and he's ready to play. And you know, he's a guy that we need and want in the lineup, and a guy that's going to you know, really help us going forward.
So Bryce was hit twice last night, once in the elbow by Sabathia, and then once by one of the relievers. Don't know the name, but maybe it was Green. But he didn't look like he was too comfortable. He did stay in the game after the elbow. Couldn't do it after the foot was hurt. You have any update on that?
Yeah, I saw him yesterday. He had ice packs all over him. Looked like he was like in a motorcycle wreck or something. He had ice packs everywhere, elbow, foot, ankle, knee. You know, he just, you know, CC clipped him. He was going inside on him and clipped him. You know how it is when you get clipped on the wrong spot in the elbow, that funny bone, your whole body really goes numb for a while. And he shook that off. And then that the slider went down and then hit him on his back foot, on his big toe of his back foot, and that went numb on him, and we felt better to take him out of the game at that point. He left the clubhouse yesterday. He said he's fine. He'll be in the lineup today.
Good. How is Bryce handling the Vegas Golden Knights loss to the Capitals in the Stanley Cup Final, Mike? How's that going?
I think he handled it great. I thought I wouldn't say he was happy to be there, you know, but it was a historic run by by an expansion franchise. So I think he took some pride and solace in that. And you know, it is, you know, he's a proud guy from Vegas, and you know, you're put in a tough spot when your hometown is playing a championship game against your second home. It put him in a little precarious spot. But hey, I like the way he stood up for Vegas, and I thought he was very respectful when the Cavs beat their butts and said all the right things, and I think he felt them.
Yeah.
So Mike, tell us about Stras. You know, we know how he is with his body, very particular. If he's got a toenail issue, he wants to miss a start.
This is a real issue.
Inaccurate as usual.
Okay, but the shoulder's a little different. All right, the shoulder's a little different. I get it. He was not comfortable in that last start. He goes on the DL. Is this something that you're concerned over?
Well, yeah, sure. Anytime you're going to miss starts with one of the top pitchers in the league, you're concerned about it. We don't think it's anything long term or serious, so we think that in a couple of weeks he'll be back and as good or maybe better than ever. And I think that the couple of weeks off in the middle of the season may make him stronger for the back end of the season. So although we're concerned about it, and obviously it's a detriment to the team, we think that it's nothing that's going to be a long-term issue to him. And like I said, we should see him bigger, stronger, and better when he gets off the DL for the stretch drive of the season.
Mike, I wanted to ask you, how do you foresee the first base position playing out here the rest of the season? Matt Adams has been so productive, great power hitter. Reynolds has flashed at times. And obviously you have Ryan Zimmerman there. How do you see it playing out?
Well, we got to get Zim healthy. You know, when he's 100% healthy and get him back in the lineup and clicking, that's our best case scenario. You know, Matty Adams has been terrific, specifically against right-handed pitching. And you know, what it does, it gives us options. It gives us options to move people around. It gives us two big horses in Adams and Reynolds off the bench for pinch hits and key times. You know, don't forget, Matt Adams is you know, statistically the best pinch hitter in baseball right now. He's got career records of pinch hits and home runs and RBIs, and he's been terrific off the bench. And you know, we're looking forward to the day where we get Zim in the lineup and Murph in the lineup and Eaton in the lineup and everybody clicking at the same time. And we haven't had a one time this season yet with even seven of our six of our everyday eight lineup at once. And we're looking forward to that day. Until then, we got to keep grinding away and try and create runs and manufacture runs and have guys that we're not counting on to play every day for us and help us win games.
So when Zim does come back, does that force you to make a decision on Reynolds, or can you have all three of those guys on the roster?
Well, we'll make the prudent roster decision when the time comes. And you know, Reynolds has been a huge help for us when Zim went down, and you know, I foresee him, you know, being a member of the team. I think, like I said, a bench of Adams from the left side and Reynolds from the right side coming off the bench really makes the other manager have to strategize and account for them, you know, coming into the game and late in the games. And you know, Zim's not going to be able to play seven games, you know, seven out of seven games. So we're going to mix and match. Davey's, you know, famous for that, coming from Chicago. He's going to put together some you know, crazy lineups to get guys work and keep everybody fresh. And I think the more good players you have on the roster, the better chances you are to sustain injuries and to be you know, consistent throughout the season. And you know, like I said, we're trying to get healthy. We're working on, you know, getting our full lineup in. And until we do, it's all hands on deck, and we've got to win games and you know, keep afloat in the National League East until we get the reinforcements.
A last question before we get to the Burke and Herbert. You guys have been fortunate here since Strassi was out because of the schedule. You had Tuesday off. You had Monday off, and then, of course, you have tomorrow off, so you didn't have to finagle the rotation as much. Fetty's going to go tonight. But if you guys had to play five straight games, who would fill in that fifth spot, the Hellickson spot?
We'll make a decision. It'll be from within. You know, we've got some viable options. You saw Jeffrey Rodriguez pitch in that long relief role. He's a starting pitcher in the minor leagues. He's an option for us. Voth is an option for us in Triple-A. We could reach deeper if we had to with Tommy Malone and that group of guys, but we've got plenty of good options down on the farm. We're a deep, lengthy minor league system. This season has taxed and tested our scouting and player development systems like no other season. I think I give them an A+ on how they've reacted to it. And I couldn't be more proud of the organization that we put together, the process that we have, and the way that, we fill these rosters we've got 11 major league players out of our, 25 man roster on the disabled list right now. Mm-hmm. We're still fighting. We're still a game out of first place in a tough National League East. And that's a tribute to the scouts, the player development, who are filling this roster, and to Davey Martinez and the coaching staff for juggling these things and really managing a 45, 50-man roster and doing it really well.
Well, Mike, you have one thing to look forward to next week. You get to play the Orioles.
Tonight we're playing the Yanks, though. We got to beat Gray.
Yeah, the Yanks are a little different.
Mike, it's time for the Burke and Herbert Bank fan question of the week. Do you believe Ohtani had elbow issues before coming to America, and is it possible, like some speculate, that his injury is due to overuse as a pitcher and a hitter? That from Lee in Carroll County.
Lee.
Well, pitchers get hurt, as we all know. You know, Tommy John's not an anomaly anymore. It happens quite often. You're talking about one of the most elite pitchers in the world, not only internationally or in Major League Baseball. This guy is one of the elite pitchers in the world and one of the elite hitters. So we had glowing reports on him as a pitcher and as a hitter. And I think I think pitching is taxing on the arm. And when you're splitting time with pitching and playing a position and DHing and you know, taking consistent batting practice like a position player does. I think the wear and tear, it's real. It's something. That's not to say he's not one of the most marketable, valuable players in the league. You know, his surplus trade value is probably as good as any player's in Major League Baseball because of the contract he has, the length of service that you have him under control, and his ability level. So this guy is he's a marvel. He's something. He's something to watch. And I can't wait till he gets back. When Ohtani's playing, it's better for baseball.
All right, Mike. Appreciate the time as always. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate
Thanks,
it,
guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, buddy. All right.
Mike Rizzo. Coming up next, we get back to the Capitals. A legend, Ole the goalie, Ole Kolzig, joins us next on The Fan.